Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. A well-known proverb of the last 300 years is, "There are none so blind as those who will not see." The origin of this statement is unclear, but most agree that it was popularized by English clergyman Matthew Henry in his Commentary on the Whole Bible, which was published in 1708. He used this proverb in his discussion of the Lord's comments in Matthew chapter 13 as to why he spoke in parables. Physical blindness is a devastating affliction that may come upon a person due to a genetic disorder, a disease, or an accident. In ancient times, people were sometimes blinded by an enemy as an act of retribution after a battle. Whatever the circumstances, to be blind was and is a terrible thing to suffer. It makes one's life much more difficult and may even leave one at the mercy of others. Spiritual blindness, on the other hand, is a far more debilitating affliction and is generally self-inflicted. In spiritual blindness, one takes eyes that are capable of seeing the truth and willfully closes them to that truth. Spiritual blindness is a function of the heart and mind rather than of the physical eyes. There are and always have been many who have perfect physical vision, but their hearts are wandering in the darkness. The Lord faced the spiritually blind throughout his ministry on the earth, and he was amazed at the unbelief that spawned it. Mark chapter 6 and verse 6 tells us this. He spoke of this spiritual blindness in Matthew chapter 13 after teaching the parable of the sower. Today we are going to begin with the Lord's comments as we consider this malady. In Matthew chapter 13 verses 3 through 9, the Lord taught the parable of the sower. When he finished the parable, his disciples asked him why he was using parables in order to teach the people. After telling the 12 that it had been granted to them to know the mysteries of heaven, he said that it had not been granted for those people to know these things. This comment flies in the face of how we have typically viewed parables, but as the Lord explained, there was a very good reason for this. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, Jesus said, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them.'" Now, most of us have been taught that parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We have understood them as a means to teach an unknown or difficult spiritual lesson by using familiar things to explain that which is unfamiliar. Yet on this particular occasion, Jesus said that he spoke in parables in order to keep people from understanding spiritual truth. This seems counter to the purpose for which the Lord came to the earth, but in reality it is the divine response to the underlying attitude of many to whom the Lord preached. Notice in his explanation that the Lord quoted the words of his Father in heaven when he called Isaiah to be a prophet to Judah. The problem in Isaiah's time was that the people of Judah, and especially the leaders of the people, had purposely closed their minds to God's law. In verse 15, the scripture says, "They have closed their eyes." Judah went into captivity because of their sins, and they fell into sin because they refused to obey God's word. As the Lord taught among the people, the same thing was happening, and his statement here is an acknowledgement of that fact. The leaders of the Jews were the primary culprits in this, but they were not alone in closing their eyes to the truth. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6, when John the Baptist heard of the works that Jesus was doing, he sent some of his disciples to ask if Jesus was the expected one. In other words, was he the Messiah? The Lord's response to John's question in verses 4 and 5 demonstrated that he was indeed the Messiah. He said, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Now, all of these things were prophesied by Isaiah as being the mark of the Messiah. In other words, when they saw someone doing these works, that was the Messiah. Jesus, of course, was doing all of these things, but the Jewish leaders refused to acknowledge him as the Messiah. They saw his miraculous works, but did not see that he was the promised one. They did not see because they chose not to see. They closed their eyes to the truth. A similar blindness occurred among the common people when Jesus taught that he was the bread of life. In John chapter 6, after having fed 5,000 men plus women and children, the Lord taught them that he was the source of eternal life, that he was the bread that came down from heaven, verse 51. This teaching was presented in terms that repeatedly referred to his divine origin and should have evoked their joyful obedience. Instead, verse 66 says that many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. These disciples saw what Jesus did, but they did not see that he was their Savior. They did not see because they closed their eyes to the truth. The fact that the scriptures say some chose to be blind to the truth prompts us to ask why anyone would want to do so. When God spoke to Ezekiel about the exiles from Judah, he spoke of them as the Lord did of the Jews in his time, and he gave a reason why this was so. In Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2, God said, "Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but do not see, ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house." Now, rebellion is a strong word, of course, but there is no other way to describe the spiritual blindness of Judah before the exile. Neither is there any other way to describe the reactions of the Jews to the Lord's ministry. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, many of the common people believed on him, but the rulers took a different view. In John chapter 11, verses 47 and 48, the scripture says, "Therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, 'What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation.'" The signs that Jesus performed attested that he was the Messiah. In John chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus told the Jews that if they did not believe him, they should at least believe the works that he was doing. Nevertheless, they refused to believe, choosing instead to attribute his miracles to the power of Beelzebul. They knew that the Messiah would do the works that Jesus did, but they closed their eyes to this truth because they were unwilling to give up their place in the Jewish faith in order to follow him. Thus, they were rebellious. And for this reason, they were spiritually blind. This is why Jesus called them blind guides in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, and warned that they and those who followed them would fall into a pit. Another reason why some chose to close their eyes to the truth is that it does not meet their expectations and therefore seems difficult. The Lord's teaching on the bread of life in John chapter 6 was not what the people expected. As Jesus stated in John chapter 6, verse 26, they were seeking him not because they believed in him, but because he had fed them. When he spoke of eating his flesh and drinking his blood, they responded in verse 60 by saying, "This is a difficult statement." When they saw that following Jesus was more than free food, many of them turned away from him. They could see that he was doing the works that only the Messiah would do, but they closed their eyes to this truth because they thought it demanded too much of them. They became spiritually blind because the truth didn't meet their approval. Becoming physically blind has consequences. Some of these can be overcome with training and practice. The blind can learn to read, to clothe and feed themselves, and even to walk from place to place without getting lost and to do certain kinds of work. There are other consequences, however, that cannot be overcome. They cannot watch a sunset, or drive a car, or pilot an airplane. Their blindness prohibits them from enjoying these activities and others like them. Those who become spiritually blind also suffer consequences, but these consequences are not ones of simple inconvenience or the ease of living. These are consequences of an eternal nature. Jesus alluded to this in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14 when he said, "If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Paul spoke in more direct language in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. He was speaking of the man of lawlessness who would come in accord with the activity of Satan. This one would show all kinds of power, signs, and false wonders to deceive those who did not receive the love of the truth. Then in verses 11 and 12 he said, "For this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." Now here is the consequence of spiritual blindness. If one chooses to close his eyes to the truth, God will allow him to be further deceived so that he will be condemned at judgment. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus told the Jews that they must continue in his word so that they would know the truth that makes them free. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, he said that God's word is truth. Therefore, if we want to know the truth, all we need to do is open up God's word. The truth of salvation is so simple that anyone of normal intelligence can understand it. If, however, we close our eyes to this simple truth, we are in rebellion to God. If we face Him at judgment in this state, we will be condemned, along with all the other unbelievers of all time. Now, physical blindness is generally incurable, but spiritual blindness has an antidote that is simple and 100% effective. It is illustrated by the events of 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. The king of Aram sent an army to capture Elisha. He surrounded the city of Dothan where Elisha was. Elisha's servant saw the Arameans surrounding the city and became frightened. In verse 17, Elisha prayed, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." When the servant's eyes were opened, he saw the army of God all around Elisha. The antidote to spiritual blindness is simply to open one's eyes to the truth. When one decides to open his eyes to God's word, his spiritual blindness is removed, and he will receive the blessing of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16, Jesus said, "But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear." Only those whose eyes are opened will avoid the pit of eternal condemnation. When we think about the things that we've studied together today, there is one prayer that is on our heart, and that prayer is, "O Lord, open their eyes, so that all those who have closed their eyes to the truth will have the opportunity to see and to receive the salvation that only comes from God's word." Bear in mind, of course, that opening one's eyes to God's word means that one believes what he reads there in God's word and that one obeys it. You see, the Jews of Jesus' time believed in God's word. They knew it better than anybody else at the time, but they refused to obey it so they would acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Today, we have to ask ourselves if our eyes are open, or are we groping about in the dark blindly toward the pit of eternal condemnation? O Lord, open their eyes. Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.